The EU, like a deer in the headlights, stares down shortages now intensely facing Germany.
Many citizens, many medium-sized enterprises, and many businesses in general are under severe strain and have, of course, seen this not only at the petrol stations in recent weeks, but also in terms of energy costs for businesses, whether in the form of fuel or raw materials.
How can we reduce the demand? Because, of course, the least expensive energy is the energy that is not used.
While in the UK, the British economy continues to circle the toilet bowl, according to the IMF.
The International Monetary Fund has downgraded Britain's economic prospects more than any G7 country in its latest update on the state of the global economy.
Front and center, the fallout in Ireland continues after a week of fierce nationwide fuel protests that saw farmers and truckers block refineries, ports, and highways, bringing supply chains to a grinding halt. Over punishing diesel prices, global shocks, and Michael Martin's coalition carbon tax machine.
Government is now extending the temporary measures to reduce excise duty on petrol, diesel, and marked gas oil from the end of May to the end of July, postponing the increase in carbon tax from May until the budget in October.
The willful obstruction of public roads and the movement of vehicles and persons are offences under various statutes, including the Public Order Act and Road Traffic Acts. As part of our well-established graduated policing response in dealing with protests, and Garda Síochána is now moving to an enforcement phase in relation to those impacting on critical infrastructure unless they desist and disperse from these blockades.
How can meetings and meetings and nothing for the people? There's thousands and thousands and thousands of Irish farmers and truckers, business people, builders of every corner of this country are all over the place. Absolutely frustrating. They don't know whether they're going to be in business in a few months' time. And this is the result. Nothing.
Gas stations ran bone dry, traffic chaos choked Dublin, and emergency services scrambled while ordinary citizens bore the brunt. In a desperate bid to calm the anger, the government rushed out a €505 million support package that included lower fuel taxes and delayed the new carbon taxes, threatening to devastate ordinary Irish citizens. The damage runs deep, igniting raw fury at an establishment that brazenly places climate dogma ahead of Irish families struggling with housing shortages and the chaos of uncontrolled mass immigration.
What did Big Jim James Bond himself quote and do? He said, "We'll turn the army on our own citizens," which is reminiscent of something that you would hear in South America. It is reminiscent of a Pyrrhonist. And then we have the man that turned away from the woman in Kentucky not so long ago, but during this election, and we didn't want to hear. And all of a sudden, he's gaslighting the country, saying he's concerned. He's concerned about the 900,000 people on waiting lists all of a sudden. He's concerned about the 60,000 people on housing lists. He's concerned about the 116,000 people that are waiting for HAP. That's what this government is concerned about. You're concerned about nothing, only serving yourselves.
Irish political party Sinn Féin rammed through its no confidence motion. The government countered with its own confidence motion and held the line, defeating the challenge.
Don't forget, folks, what's happening here in Ireland is happening everywhere. The amount of messages I get saying it's happening in Canada, it's happening in Australia, it's happening in Europe. This is a global agenda, 2030, right?
Taoiseach Michael Martin clings to power for now, yet the votes exposed a rattled regime scrambling amid public outrage as the Emerald Isle's people question how long distant globalist agendas will override their right to affordable fuel and basic national sovereignty. John Bound reporting for InfoWars.
All right, you can find and share that video at band.videoinfowars.com. Ireland has had enough. And, you know, it's hard to find information about Ireland. The mainstream media is obviously not covering it, and I get a lot of conflicting information, but all I know is that island has been targeted for total destruction. It's operating something like a quarter of its population is now foreign-born, and they're trying to increase that as rapidly as humanly possible. Because it's a genocide, because they're committing genocide against white people.
also for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know like knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm like horrible with equipment. I'm like very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife, comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80, which sell them for like $40. We'll be right back.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. Third hour is on for this Wednesday, the 15th of April broadcast. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. Rob Duell will be taking over the War Room this afternoon. Jay Dyer will be taking over for me and hosting the fourth hour here on the Alex Jones Show. We have a lot still to cover in this final hour, mostly American political stuff, including stuff like this. Abigail Spanberger signs law to circumvent electoral college for Virginia voters. So, Abigail Spanberger, the CIA agent radical leftist that just got elected as governor of Virginia, basically just gave up the right of Virginians to vote for president. This is, again, just completely insane. Governor Spanberger has signed a bill to circumvent the Electoral College and have Virginia become a member of a compact between states that are looking to give their Electoral College votes to the presidential candidate that wins the popular vote instead of the candidate that voters from the state choose. So if you're in Virginia and you vote in the presidential election, it won't actually affect where Virginia's delegates go. It will simply be added to the pile with the rest of America, and whoever wins the popular vote will win the electoral college votes for your state. I think she just robbed you of your vote, essentially. Again, this is just one of these things that the left just sort of does, and it's just, it utterly breaks our electoral system. You can't just unilaterally change the way that your state casts its electoral vote. Like, how is this permitted? I could understand how you could change it within the established structure of states vote via electoral college, but to basically say it doesn't matter what the people of our state vote, we are just going to give our electoral college to whoever everybody else wants. So, I mean, what's the population of Virginia? What's the population of, like, New York City? Because, essentially, your vote just isn't going to matter anymore. You can be outvoted by a bunch of recent arrivals in New York and L.A., and they just get to dictate who the president is. And all of Virginia will give their electoral college votes to support whoever the candidate is that major population centers in big cities far away from Virginia want. Abigail Spanberger represents the latest and extremely successful Democrat strategy of running somebody who says very normal things, who just, the meme is John Normalson. Hi, I'm John Normalson. I want to help families and lower prices. Then they get into office and it's like, I'm getting rid of voting and I'm letting rapists out on the street and I'm giving drugs to children. And it's just like, what the hell? This is the strategy they're pursuing. And they know that people will fall for it. Because, again, it's just, it's sad that we laid all of this out before she was even elected. But it's actually not that complicated. And you'll see it everywhere now. Everywhere, everywhere, everywhere you'll see. The Republicans will be running some token Republican where it's, and the meme that this comes from is there's like the guy on top who's like, I'm a gay Native American, but I'm Republican. What? And it's like, that's the Republican candidate. And they're like, I'm an anchor baby, but I don't want women in men's sports, so vote for me. And then the Democrats, it's, hi, I'm John Normalson. Vote for me, and I will be a politician. And it's like, people are like, yeah, just vote for that guy. That guy seems reasonable. He seems fine. He's not some gimmick. It's not some dude nobody's ever heard of. He looks like a responsible guy. He's run some small business. Let's put him in charge. And then he rules like Chairman Mao. And then he gets into office, and they just shove through the most radical program you've ever seen in a way that makes their rule permanent, by the way. Like Abigail Spanberger, the way that she's changed some of the electoral processes already at the state level in Virginia, is basically guaranteed Republicans will never get that state back. Because they play for keeps, because they play to win, because they don't actually care about the function of our government. They don't actually agree with or understand our founding principles. They don't have any genuine love for the Republican system and any of this. They actually want to destroy it and tear it down, and they're willing to do that. So, like, we're in a very interesting situation because the people that actually believe in the things the Constitution represents, the morals and values and foundational principles that were enshrined but not not created in, but simply embodied, enshrined, and elucidated in the Constitution, we are being destroyed and boxed out of power by people who have no scruples because they don't actually like the Constitution. They don't actually believe in the foundational principles. They don't actually like the founding stock of America. They want us all done away with. And if we don't play fire, like fight fire with fire, if we don't do to them what they do to us, then we're abandoning the field. We will lose outright. So is it possible to violate our own convictions in the ultimate goal of reclaiming the metaphysical importance of the Constitution? Or do we stick to our principles knowing that we lose everything? I don't think that's, a crazy perspective to bring. And it's not just the all of this stuff, the letting criminals out for free and doing away with voting for president and just like all of this insane stuff. She also just signed a law ending the tax exemption status of the United Daughters of the Confederacy and other Confederate groups. So there is nothing extreme about honoring your heritage. There is absolutely nothing extreme about being the descendant of a Confederate. These groups were made by people who were alive while the Civil War was happening, yet somehow they were less hateful and scared of the Confederacy than people nowadays. The soldiers who literally fought and killed Confederate soldiers were less hateful and bigoted towards the South than Abigail Spanberger and people alive right now. If this was such a crazy thing, if this was a rebel group that, wanted to overthrow the country, and then they wouldn't have been allowed to create the groups in the first place. These groups were created at a time when the memory of the Civil War was alive in people's minds. It was fine then. Now it's an extremist group, the Daughters of the Confederacy. Literally a bunch of Southern stay-at-home moms who give presentations about their ancestors. Just like the Daughters of the American Revolution or any of these groups that operate. But they have simply decided by fiat, with no justification, they're extremist. They just said it. They didn't need to provide any justification. They didn't need to argue it. They just, by fiat, by dictate, Confederate groups are now extremist groups. They are now illegal. They will not get tax exempt status. We will bankrupt them completely. Now, Vince Dow responds to this on X, saying this is a notable precedent. You can apparently just ban nonprofit groups that you label extremist. Republicans should take notes. Every communist organization in the United States should be shut down. The No Kings protest will evaporate overnight. Let Democrats find out. Couple problems with this. One, Republicans will never do this. They'll never do it, even though they should. But this is the problem. We actually are like, oh, it's wrong just to say that a group is an extremist and, you know, take away their tax exempt status. They shouldn't do that. Okay, but they did. They are. They're doing it. They just did it. You can wag your finger at them, but those groups are going to not exist anymore. What are you going to do about it? Nothing. Now, the irony is, the thing that makes this less than just unequal is that the Confederate, you know, the Daughters of the Confederacy, not radical by any stretch of the imagination, not extremist by any such stretch of the imagination. They don't even have like political. It's literally just like a history and heritage group who meet to read old letters. Like, it's crazy. They're not extremist by any stretch of the imagination. Meanwhile, you've got communist groups running around firebombing places and bragging about it online, you know, making extremist posters that they're putting up, kill all white people, like insane stuff. So the Republicans would actually be justified. The Republicans could actually look at the communist groups operating right now on American soil and say, these people are an existential threat to our country. They're dangerous. They're terroristic. They're violent. And they have a stated purpose of overthrowing our entire country and driving us into chaos so that they can rule over the ashes. We actually have a good reason to go after these groups, but we won't. The Democrats are going after the Confederate group because they simply have destroyed any other system, you know, any other group that upholds American values has already been destroyed. So now they're just going after like whatever remnants are left and just destroying those systematically. Would it be against the Constitution? Would it be in violation of my conservative principles to say we should not allow these communist groups to operate? This is the way our system works. It's supposed to be precedent setting and then matching that precedent. Okay, you want to ban the Daughters of the Confederacy because you just don't like their ancestors? Then we can do that too. I don't understand why we won't. When it comes to the question of anti-Semitism, if we're going to ban a style of thought, if we're going to ban a topic of discussion, what if we banned Judaism? What if we banned the practice of Judaism? What if we banned any celebration of the state of Israel? What if we banned that religion outright? Would that be more or less of a violation than banning criticism of that religion? I'd see it about the same. I think if you're going to do one, I don't see what the moral outrage would be at doing the other. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Is this the type of Pandora's box you want to open up? Because that's exactly what's happening. So I could go on forever about the violation of American principles that banning a historical heritage group because you work for the CIA. Like, obviously that's wrong. Obviously that shouldn't be done. But it is happening. This is the world we live in. These groups are now going to have to move headquarters or go bankrupt. So that's just the rules we need to play by. It's, I don't know. I don't find it all that complicated. And it would actually possibly be one minor consideration for the Democrats when they start thinking, should we destroy something? Should we do something to the conservatives? What if in their mind they had to think, gosh, if we do that, they'll do it to us? That's the way precedent is supposed to work. Yeah, I've been around since the 1800s. That's the way this is supposed to work. It's supposed to be every time they think, hey, I bet we could ban the Daughters of the Confederacy, they should think, yeah, but then the Republicans are going to come back and ban all of our groups, and we really like our groups, so maybe let's let them have their group so we can have ours. Instead, they're like, let's ban the Daughters of the Confederacy, and then the Republicans will huff and puff and do nothing, and then we'll ban the Daughters of the Revolution. Okay, and then Republicans will be mad, and they'll be outraged, and then we'll ban, you know, whatever other organization, and eventually they'll ban all the organizations that even try to uphold the values that we originally held. And so suddenly it won't even be against our our American values to ban groups that we don't like, because all of the groups that remind us that we once had free speech will all have been systematically eliminated. I think that might be part of the process going on here. And so as we look at like everything across the board, the frustration I experience with all of this is just like, if Republicans simply stood for what they say they stand for, or fought the Democrats with the same intensity they fought for Israel, this wouldn't be an issue. None of this would be a problem. And again, this is the frustration. I'm not just bringing it up because I'm obsessed with Israel, obsessed with Iran. This is the best example of why the Republicans' inability to do anything to combat the Democrats is a choice. It's an absolute choice. Because when it comes to something that Israel wants, we're not concerned about precedent setting. We're not concerned about violating the laws or the spirit of the Constitution. We just do it. And so I would like the Republicans to just do that for us. How about, and again, this is the craziest thing. For like decades, we're complaining and yelling about the vicious anti-white hatred that came out of universities, out of the official universities, not just like random people at universities, university students with bad ideas. The universities themselves had courses about eliminating and abolishing whiteness. The school newspaper writes articles saying your DNA is an abomination. White people, your DNA is poison and you should be eradicated. That was coming from the official organs of the universities themselves. For decades, we're complaining about this, yelling about this, expressing concern about this. Nothing gets done. And if you could even get them to acknowledge it, even get them to address the concern, you'd inevitably be hit with some excuse about, well, what are we supposed to do? They're universities. We have free speech and we believe in free speech. And there's just, we might not like it, but hey, the best way to fight bad speech is with good speech. You get out there and make your own arguments. You're like, okay, well, white people are nice. And they're like, that's illegal. Shut it down. You're not allowed to say that. Okay, great. But there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do about the universities being viciously, openly anti-white. Because it's free speech. What are we supposed to do? Until October 7th happened. Until you had students on universities protesting against Israel. In which case, all of a sudden, we figured out what we can do. All of a sudden, it wasn't an impossible task. It wasn't a violation of free speech. It wasn't against our principles or just too complicated of a thing to handle. It was, okay, well, we're taking away their endowment until they fire the people we don't like. Oh, gee, you could have just done that at any point, huh? So it's not that you're like this principled, we will not violate our belief in free speech, regardless of how it makes us feel. No, you're willing to do it. You can do it. You have the capability, the levers of power. You do it when it's Israel. You just don't do it when it's us. If Abigail Spanberger banned AIPAC as an extremist group, you bet your ass they would be down her throat and impeaching her and destroying all of Virginia. Like, it would just be insanity across the board. She gets rid of the Confederacy and it's crickets. Nobody says anything. No Republican decides to fight back, and certainly not treat them in kind by banning their actual extremist, actual seditious, actual foreign funded communist groups. So just like everything, it's like, do I need to explain this to you? I don't know. Am I some sort of genius? Because this all seems very obvious to me. When a woman lights her father on fire, don't let her out on the street. Do I need to write a paper? I mean, I didn't even go to school. Maybe I'd be smarter if I went to school. Maybe I'd understand why we can't just throw criminals in prison or do to the Democrats what they do to us or use governmental power to benefit us and not other people. I'm too stupid to understand. I'm too low IQ to comprehend the sophisticated operation of the government that says the Constitution can only be wielded against the Americans, never for their benefit. The Constitution will prevent you from deporting a single illegal alien, but somehow the Constitution is nowhere to be seen when they're opening the gates and flooding our country with tens of millions. This doesn't make any sense. So if it's our self-imposed adherence to normal functions that aren't normal anymore, that don't exist anymore, then we need to give that up and we just need to fight fire with fire. Doesn't mean I don't believe in what the Constitution says. It means that I want to get back to a country that can actually embody those values. Right now, we are run by and infested by an infinite number of con men and foreigners and CIA agents who do not believe in the Constitution and are systematically destroying not just the strictures of the Constitution and the restrictions on the government that the Constitution lays out, but destroying like the groups that believe in the Constitution and the people that uphold the Constitution and the history that says why our Constitution is special and unique. It's all being destroyed and deliberately replaced with a false narrative designed to demonize the very freedoms the Constitution enshrines. Again, not complicated, not difficult to understand. Why have white people been demonized by our culture for the last several decades? Because you can associate white people with the history of white nations. The history of white nations is the history of the Constitution, the creating incrementally the freedoms that we enjoy and were enshrined in our founding documents. If you can demonize the people, you demonize the ideas. If you can demonize the ideas about individualism and representative politics and the point of the government being for the benefit of the people, because we hold these truths to be self-evident, if they can destroy that, then they can enslave you and you have nothing to appeal to, because what you would appeal to is what, the Nazis? I.e. the white people? Oh, so you're like a white supremacist. Oh, so you believe in the Constitution, so you think that like black people should be slaves and that like Jewish people should be in gas chambers? Because that's what the history of white people is, right? So you demonize the people, you demonize the ideas, you get the world to accept willing slavery by convincing them that freedom and individual responsibility is somehow reflective of a white supremacy, which has been determined to be the only and greatest evil that exists. Really the only evil that exists. I mean, we'll see. I'll get into it in the next one. Not a lot's off the table these days. Hell, apparently you can kill children. That's righteous. As long as you're doing it for Israel, you can promote pedophilia. That's super cool. Most popular, you know, show in the country these days. The only sin that will exist in the future is the sin of being white or supporting traditionally white ideas that came out of Europe and England, free speech, individuality, trial by a jury of your peers whose purpose is seeking justice, not racial animus. These things are going away. They're being deliberately destroyed. Abigail Spanberger is the method by which they're doing it, having a seemingly normal average person run as a Democrat who just wants what's best for your family and then getting into power and ruthlessly doing everything they possibly can, regardless of precedent, regardless of what we would normally have, which would be governors who actually believe in free speech and understand the principles of our government. No, they actually are deliberately destroying them, and the Republicans refuse to fight back. We refuse to do anything to stop this onslaught. We refuse to defend ourselves or attack the Democrats. And so we're losing. It's not complicated. It's not hard to figure out. It's very simple.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62, that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this. How to put in the salt, IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004, but I got blown up in Iraq. I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue. With this water, I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealvinshowstore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealvinshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealvinshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealvinshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. The Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on. For your mind.
Do you do IQ tester?
Yep, that's what we do.
Okay, because I think I need one.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. Why do you need one?
Well, I've had some people lately telling me I have a low IQ.
Ooh, shots fired. Gosh, who's been telling you that?
Well, some people online have been telling me that, like the president. And even my dogs are looking at me a little bit condescendingly now.
Well, we'll find out. So with this IQ test, I'll just ask you a series of simple, really common sense questions, and you just give me your best answer.
I'm actually kind of a little bit nervous right now.
Oh, yeah, you should be, because if you turn out to be what some would call a low IQ nut job, then you're pretty much a lost cause.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
All right, first question. Which word doesn't belong? Apple, banana, carrot, orange.
Is it carrot?
Very good, because it's not a fruit at all. It's clever. Next question. Who would be considered more of a traitor to their country, person A, who receives $230 million from a foreign lobby, or person B, who receives $0 from a foreign lobby?
I mean, clearly person A.
Wrong.
Come on, that's got to be correct.
Next. Hypothetical question. If a country has a major shipping waterway that you want to have open, and it's currently open, but they'll close it if you go to war, what would be a smart way to ensure that waterway stays open?
You don't go to war with them.
No, not even close. I mean, common sense would say go to war with that country and stay at war with that country as a way of putting pressure on them to reopen it after they've closed it because you went to war with them.
Are you playing with a full deck?
I don't play cards, but thanks for asking. Oh, and this is a good one. If you had the desire to take down an international pedophile ring, what would be the best way to follow through on that desire?
Well, you launch a full investigation using every means necessary, and then you prosecute those bastards the fullest extent of the law.
Wrong. No. You would launch an effort to prevent any investigations and prosecutions.
That can't be right.
Well, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
These questions are kind of weird.
Oh, I assure you, these are standardized IQ test questions, sir. Next question. Here's a scenario. You got a person, they work for America and America only. What country does that person work for?
America?
That's incorrect. They work for Iran. Next question. Who's more beautiful as a woman? France's first lady, or maybe man, or Candace Owens?
Candace Owens?
No.
Have you seen France's first lady?
I would totally do her. If she had an OnlyFans, I would subscribe. Any reasonable man would. Okay, how would you describe what America First means?
Putting America's interests first above any other foreign nation.
No, you're actually describing anti-Semitism. Yuck. Okay, last question. What year did we first land on the moon?
We've never been to the moon.
No, we've been to the moon. We go all the time. Well, your test is complete. I've never seen a score like this before.
What'd I get?
You got an IQ of 65.
Is that high?
No. That's a very low IQ.
My life is literally ruined. He was right.
Who was right?
Just don't worry about that now. My big question is, what am I going to do with my life now that I've learned that I am so stupid?
Well, just remember, you're also a nut job. But yeah, you're pretty screwed. Really, the only option I can give low IQ people such as yourself is to, like, go off and open a Somali daycare.
I am completely devastated. Are you talking about that creature looks like from the Lord of the Rings, the goblin thing that shambles around beside Macron, whatever it is? You're saying she's beautiful? Okay. Beautiful doesn't do it like a gremlin, maybe.
Good. All right, folks. That's the latest from Alex Jones and J.P. Sears. You, too, can be low IQ with one of these stylish low IQ hats. You can let everybody know that you're too stupid to see the beauty of Emmanuel Macron's wife. You're too stupid to understand why America First means we need to go to war forever for Israel. Incredible stuff. You can get that hat at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is your one-stop shop for incredible supplements, awesome merchandise, and you keep us on the air and telling the truth regardless of who likes it or what lies we have to disprove in the process. Thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. I want to go to a video now. This was just published by Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about Donald Trump's support of FISA, which is, I guess it would be shocking if it wasn't just the latest in a series of foundational promises from Trump being broken recently. He really does seem to have turned around on everything. And here's Marjorie Taylor Greene's reaction to his latest announcement that he said, hey, you know, just because it destroys some of your freedoms, it doesn't matter because the military really likes FISA. You know, the court that was used to spy on Trump and destroy his first administration and try to send him to jail. He loves it now. Let's watch.
I'm having a really hard time keeping up with what is the new MAGA now. Apparently, the new MAGA is warrantless spying on Americans. This has always been an issue that President Trump and especially conservative Republicans when I served in Congress, we all said there should never be warrantless spying on Americans. And this was about FISA Section 702. But apparently President Trump has come out and demanded that Republicans in Congress pass a clean reauthorization of FISA Section 702. Now, this comes really approximately 2 years after President Trump had put on Truth Social, his version of Twitter, in all caps, "Kill FISA. It was illegally used against me and many others. They spied on my campaign," DJT. So before he was president, he was demanding that Congress kill FISA. That was when Republicans, we had the majority under President Biden. But now that Donald Trump is president, he wants a clean reauthorization of FISA. Don't add anything about warrant requirements, nothing. Just pass it so that the federal government can do whatever they want and continue to spy on whoever they want. Let's give a little history about that because I find this really frustrating. So there's been a lot of abuses of FISA Section 702. If you'll remember, this included backdoor searches, where Section 702 allowed the FBI and NSA to query data for information on U.S. citizens without a warrant, by the way. Targeting American citizens, queries have been used inappropriately to search for information on protesters. That would be you if you don't like what your government's doing. Journalists, what happened to freedom of the press? Political commentators, members of Congress, and a state judge. There was a high volume of misuse. Reports revealed that between late 2020 and early 2021, FBI analysts ran over 278,000 queries that violated agency standards, failing to meet legal thresholds for foreign surveillance. And it goes on and on and on. So why is President Trump demanding a clean reauthorization? And why are Republicans like Mike Johnson and Jim Jordan willing to give it to him? Just a little jog down memory lane. Jim Jordan, who was always a strong ally of mine in the House, was actually one of the main members of Congress demanding warrant requirements on FISA. But now Jim Jordan is totally fine with whatever needs to be done. This is a case where it's turning into Republican members of Congress are just completely obedient to whatever the president and the White House tells them to do. They have totally let go of the issues that they have fought on. And that's at the peril of the American people, because the American people elect their representatives to actually represent them, not the president and whatever he is demanding on any given day. I just want to give a shout out to Thomas Massie, because Thomas Massie posted that he is a no on final passage of FISA 702 reauthorization bill. Thank you, Thomas Massie, once again. He said, if it doesn't include warrant provision and other reforms to protect U.S. citizens' right to privacy, he's voting no. And that's the right thing to do. That doesn't make Thomas Massie a traitor. That doesn't make him a Democrat. That means he's standing up for the rights of Americans. That's exactly what we always did in the past, until now President Trump has decided that he's 100% for the deep state and 100% for the federal government to be able to spy on you as much as they want without a warrant requirement. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you voted for President Trump, you should be calling him out, holding him accountable. If you voted for Republicans, you should be calling them out, holding them accountable for the issues that they always claimed they would fight on. And this one today is pretty shocking to me, and I'm pretty disgusted with it. So you guys, call the congressional switchboard, do whatever you can, but let Congress know that you don't want to be spied on by the federal government, by our intelligence agencies, no matter what President Trump says. Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you really spin this one. What good is the FISA court at all? I mean, it's literally just used to spy on Americans, spy on Trump's presidential campaign. And maybe this would be one of those instances where, like, the Democrats set the precedent by doing it, and then we could do it, but we're not going to do it like that. I wouldn't even be in favor of that anyway, but I guess they're just getting away with it is the actual thing that's happening, is that they get to abuse these things, but then we're not allowed to take them away because of how necessary they are. You see, the fact that they're necessary means you have to harshly control any abuse. Again, there's some people, I don't know where the confusion comes in. If this is so necessary, if this is such an important thing for us to have, then anybody violating it and putting its existence at risk should be dealt with harshly. That's the risk. That's the person doing the bad thing. But they get to abuse it. And then if you want to take it away, they say, oh, but we need it for the actual terrorism that it stops or whatever. So it's basically blackmail. So it's basically, let us spy on you and anybody that we want to spy on. Let us get, you know, secret access to all of your devices and spy on you continuously, and then use that information, politically leak it out or weaponize it internally to keep control of America. And if you don't, then gosh, I guess the terrorist attacks will be your fault. I guess if you take away the ability for us to spy on Americans and rig the political system, then I guess you're kind of responsible if terrorists attack, right? It's utterly inverted. It's completely ridiculous, but that is the case. I want to go now to clip number 5. This is Steve Bannon also talking about the trouble of Trump's administration, the coming up to the midterms, and sort of the reverse view, it seems like Trump has of his popularity. I think you'll understand what I mean when we hear Steve Bannon talk about it. Here he is yesterday talking about Trump's failure to uphold the popularity he enjoyed in 2024.
He says, send every H-1B visa holder and their families and everybody that came over with it on the next plane out of here, and all those billets come open for, wait for it, Americans. American workers. If you do that, this polling on the young people did not come because President Trump went to UFC fights. Yeah, that's a cool thing, and it's one of the things that a lot of these young men are attracted to, and it's great President does that, and Dana White and everybody, they got clearly a market, and they touch a nerve. They came because finally somebody was standing up for their economic interest, and now we've abandoned that. It shouldn't be lost on people that the free fall in that is not because of memes. It is not because of UFC. It's because we've abandoned them to foreign workers. Full stop. When you put American citizens' interest first, paramount, at the top of it, a special deal. Yes, they should get a special deal. They treat Americans like you should be supplicants for your basic rights. Oh, well, these foreigners, screw everybody else. American citizens get a...
I don't know why this is so hard. I don't know why this is so hard to comprehend. And I think part of it is that, I mean, obviously the boomers are the number one constituency of the Republicans. Again, while young people are desperate, just trying to start their lives out, trying to believe in the promise of America and that they can actually achieve something if they just put in the hard work, they're being screwed over. And the GOP is putting out advertisements bragging that they're no longer going to charge tax on new boat purchases. New boat purchases. Okay, so they're serving the people who are buying boats while the people who are living out of their cars are only doing worse. Why would you do that if you weren't trying to destroy the Republican Party? Why would you not offer a solution or, at the very least, understanding for what the average young person is going through? Instead, all you get from the Republicans is insults and name calling, basically, as they sell out our country to foreign interests. And the obvious and inevitable result of that will be that socialists take power. Duh. And yet again, I'm like, how do people not understand this? How do people not understand that when a young person is sitting there going, I've got all this student debt, I feel like I'm trapped, I can't even afford a home, I can't even afford to live by myself renting, and I'm working my fingers to the bone just to pay off the interest of the debt. People used to understand this. This is from a Saturday Evening Post from, I believe, the 1940s. I actually took this picture. I found it at a thrift store or a whatever. antique shop. And it says this: the contented workman, the enemy of unrest. Anarchy is the child of despair. Apart from the cranks, the money-lusting exploiters of ignorance, and the temperamental nihilist, nobody wants to go red, right? Nobody wants to be a communist. Men only become communist only if they are bitterly discontented. Let a man feel that he is oppressed and exploited, that his employer neither knows nor cares if he lives or dies, that whatever happens, he has nothing to lose. And he listens with conviction to the agitator's vindictive foamings and to the promise of a communist heaven on earth. But the contented workman, with his family, his home, his savings, sure of fair treatment by his employer, secure against accident, is immune to the virus of the agitator. Class war, revolution, blood, murder, what promise lies in these thoughts to the contented workman? It's like, try to say that now, people will call you a socialist. Try to say that now, it's like, well, you just don't understand. You just aren't as sophisticated. You don't understand why corporations need to be allowed to exploit people to the maximum degree and, you know, offshore all of their work and replace all of their employees with H-1Bs. You're just not sophisticated enough. You just don't understand how the stock market works. It's like, no, this is actually very simple. If you want people to love your system, it has to benefit them in some way. In some way, our system is the better system. It does provide for a contented life. It can be a system in which people can work minimum amount. Mom can stay home. Dad can work a couple hours a day. Go on trips on the weekend. Take a couple vacations a year. Retire at 60. That's what life used to be like here in America. For the vast majority of people. Now, it's those same people who bought houses in 1990 as 30-year-olds, they're the same people buying houses now because the economy has been destroyed for their sake. You can't just ignore that and then expect people to go along with you. And interestingly, I was looking at the speech that JFK gave right before his death, where he talks about the quote-unquote monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that's confronting the world at the time. And a lot of people can put that in a lot of context. It's a very powerful quote. What he was actually talking about was communism. And he actually starts that speech, if you go read the full text of the actual speech he gave, with a very similar story to what I just read about the contented workman. He's giving a speech to a bunch of media people, a bunch of newspaper men and that sort of thing. And he says, "I appreciate how much your generous invitation to be here tonight. You bear heavy responsibility these days, and an article I read some time ago reminded me of how particularly heavy the burdens of present-day events bear upon your profession." Remember, he's talking to newspaper men and the mainstream media at the time. He says, "You may remember that in 1851, the New York Herald Tribune, under sponsorship and publishing of Horace Greeley, employed in its London London correspondent an obscure journalist by the name of Karl Marx." We are told that that foreign correspondent Marx, stone broke and with a family ill and undernourished, constantly appealed to Greeley and managing editor Charles Dana for an increase in his munificent salary of $5 per installment, a salary which he and Engels ungratefully labeled as, quote, "the lousiest petty bourgeois cheating." But when all of his financial appeals were refused, Marx looked around for other means of livelihood and fame, eventually terminating his relationship with the Tribune and devoting his talents full-time to the cause that would bequeath the world the seeds of Leninism, Stalinism, revolution, and the Cold War. If only this capitalistic New York newspaper had treated him more kindly. If only Marx had remained a foreign correspondent, history might have been different. And I hope all publishers will bear this lesson in mind next time they receive a poverty-stricken appeal for a small increase in the expense account for an obscure newspaper. So he's saying the same thing, right? It's a tongue-in-cheek and kind of funny way of saying it. But he's essentially saying, look, people wouldn't have come up with communism and certainly wouldn't pursue communism now if they felt like they were valued by their employer, by their nation, by their neighborhood, by their people. Now, how much worse is our condition? And remember the video we saw yesterday about the girl who was fully in the leftist cult and only broke out after seeing how insane they were about COVID. And she said, and again, I can explain it to you, but when somebody like her explains it, it's so much more powerful, where she's like, I believed in this guilt over being white. And she's like, I was indoctrinated with this idea that as a white person, I was bad. I was basically the beneficiary and privileged because of all of these horrible things that my people had done in the past. And so as penance, I had to give up everything to these people. Like, they actually imbue this. So now we've got people that aren't just sort of outraged that they're not being treated well. They've actually taken in the lesson of not being treated well. They think they deserve it. It's like a Stockholm syndrome. And so they're so radically communist and socialist, they don't even pursue it because they're making the claim that it will benefit this country. They're actually like, no, we do deserve to go down. We are evil. We support communism because it will destroy America. So it's even worse than it was back in the 60s. But it's something that I feel like we've forgotten or has been just deliberately driven out of our public conversation, is that if you want America to survive and if you want conservatism to last, you have to actually make arguments that appeal to people's self-interest and their personal lives and how much, you know, damage is being done to their personal lives by the policies, by the pursuit of profit, by big corporations. They don't represent us. I am not Amazon. I am not McDonald's. This does nothing to help me. And yet we've been convinced in this false dichotomy that it's between capitalists and communism. The actual dichotomy is between communists and Christians. Communists and America. Freedom. Choice. When the communists rose to power and we were trying to delineate ourselves from communism and define what we believed, we didn't put in money we trust on the Bibles, we put in God we trust on the money. Our motto, E Pluribus Unum, was changed to In God We Trust, specifically to counter-signal the atheistic communist movement. People back then understood the dichotomy. They understood that the difference is between freedom, life, and love, and, you know, Christian worldview of mercy and understanding versus the harsh, brutal, retarded, dangerous, and deadly communistic atheism. That's the actual thing that we're trying to battle for right now, battle against communism in its atheistic form, and battle for the society and the culture and the fundamental values that came out of Christian Europe. That's the actual dichotomy. And the more you focus on serving the capitalist interests, you're damaging the very fabric of the society that's actually worth upholding. That's going to be it for me. Jay Dyer takes over as the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show continues. War Room comes up after that. Stay tuned. Very powerful shows finishing out the day here. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. It's your last chance to get InfoWars branded material.
I'm very pleased to announce two new great products at thealexjonesstore.com that will 100% work and deliver you energy, clarity, and also, when you want to relax, great calm, rest, and sleep. Now, a lot of our products are very complex, game-changing, cutting-edge, you name it. But there's a lot of things that are very simple and proven that are still the best. Now, we have several other great energy formulas at thealexjonesstore.com. They're more complex. But Ultimate Energy is very, very simple. And this is one of the most popular long-running energy combinations on the market at Whole Foods and everywhere else because it really works. It's Ultimate Energy, thealexjonesstore.com. Very strong dose of wide-spectrum, organic, time-released caffeine with a big dose of high-quality L-theanine that gives you focus and clarity but relaxes you. So with the caffeine, it's very, very smooth without the letdown, lasts up to 10 hours. That's Ultimate Energy. But when you're ready to relax, Ultimate Chill, a strong dose of high-quality ashwagandha root, known for thousands of years, give people rest, clarity, focus. Doesn't make you tired, just makes you relax, kind of a zen focus. And then on top of that, a big dose of L-theanine that also gives you calm, clear focus. Great rest, great relaxation, great dreams. That's so good for your immune system, your entire body. So some days when I've been working from 5 a.m. to, say, 10 p.m., and I've been, you know, jacked up on our great supplements and you name it, I will go to this formula, Ultimate Chill. That's why I actually came to Big League and said, hey, I'm already using a brand from Whole Foods. This is what's in it. Make it a little bit stronger. So this is a formula I've been using for years to relax. If I'm having trouble being able to kind of ease into non-work mode, and this is how I do it. Simple, proven ingredients that work in a high-quality fusion. Now available at thealexjonesstore.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.